Last Word
with Matt Cooper
on Today FM.
With me is Daniel McConnell, editor of the Business Post, and we're going to talk about some remarkable weekend of political news. We will talk, Danny, in a moment about the likely election date, but I brought it up with Conor Lally earlier about Jerry Hutch, the monk, putting it about that he's considering standing for the general election in the Dublin Central constituency. And the fact that he has previous criminal convictions does not bar him from standing, does it?
No, it doesn't. And this is a great story. I'm fascinated because I live in Dublin Central. So obviously it's been all the talk at all the GAA matches and all the soccer matches and with all the parents and everything over the weekend. We were full of the chat on this. And it seems his motivation is there to... He seems to have Mary Lou MacDonald in his sights directly, that he wants to do and inflict as much damage on her as much as possible.
Is this connected to Jonathan Dowd all on his trial?
It could very well be. But, you know, I suppose Sinn Féin and Mary Lou MacDonald would have, you know, taken a lot of that anti-establishment vote previously within Dublin Central, that kind of disenchanted vote, you know, particularly in the kind of more working class areas in the inner city and then kind of, you know, parts of Cabra, etc. like that. So these are the areas that the Hutch, if he stands, and ultimately this is speculation whether he stands or not.
He might be just trying to wind Sinn Féin up without actually doing it.
Listen, he's had 48 hours of you know, dominating the headlines in relation to it. We haven't yet heard from him publicly. We haven't yet heard of, you know, or seen him do a doorstep or do any sort of what normal kind of political...
And he can wait weeks until he decides.
Yes, but it certainly has thrown the cat amongst the pigeons. Like, we've heard of other notable people looking to parachute into Dublin Central, including Claire Daly, you know, the failed MEP candidate, who would certainly, you know, there's already quite a strong left field in Dublin.
But isn't this vote likely to splinter all over the place?
Absolutely.
No. I mean, yeah. I said Pascal Donoghue must be looking at this grinning because there's not going to be as much of a contest for votes among the centre and the right. But on the left, you have Gary Gannon looking to defend his seat, Nasa Horrigan of the Green Party trying to defend her seat, Mary Lou MacDonald, who I suspect now may not be able to bring a running mate along with her.
Yeah, James Boylan, who's her named running mate.
Do you think will that go ahead? Would they really dare run a running mate as well if they suddenly have all of these candidates targeting their votes?
They are at the moment scheduled to run two candidates, but I think if Sinn Féin continue on the path they are, I think you might see a revision of that. You also have Marie Sherlock of the Labour Party, based in Fitzroy, looking to... So you have a very crowded left-to-centre field there. Now, Pascal Donoghue isn't exactly the most right-wing of right-wing politicians, albeit from Fine Gael, but surely a splintering on the left would suit him rather than anybody else.
And the Fianna Fáil candidate will be?
Was Mary Fitzpatrick.
Who has run how many times unsuccessfully?
Quite a few,
it's almost impossible to count.
Yeah.
And she might now possibly feel that she has a chance. This is going to be arguably one of the most fascinating constituencies
I've always
in the
considered,
country.
And Dublin Central was a three-seater, has expanded out to a four-seater now. It is a bellwether constituency because it was, you know, a year ago we were talking about two Sinn Féin seats and then kind of a scramble between everybody else for the other two seats. Now, as we've just discussed, Mary Lou is likely to hold her seat. Pascal Donoghue is likely to hold a seat. But Gary Gannon, you know, would have recovered. When Sinn Féin on the ropes, Gary Gannon is lucky to be in a stronger position than he probably would have been. And then you've a free-for-all between all the rest for the...
And I didn't mention Workers' Party previously, now independent, Malachy Steenson, yep, who would also be trying to gain the inner-city vote based on his anti-immigration stance.
But again, all of those, the likes of Malachy Steenson and others who've come from that inner working class areas have only ever really topped 5, 6, 7, 8%. They've never really challenged for a seat in more recent elections.
But in PR, it can have a distorting effect in relation to votes. What about Sinn Féin's position now? We will be discussing it in TV and streaming later, but were they right to be annoyed about the joke on the Late Late Show that Patrick Keelty told about Mary Lou MacDonald and Brian Stanley being the first contestants in the Irish version of The Traitors?
The word traitor is a very loaded term. Patrick Keelty might say it was satire, it was humour, it was whatever. It was pushing the boundaries, I would have thought. But is that not what we want entertainment to do? Is to be kind of provoking and to kind of challenge you? And, you know, to me, Sinn Féin are coming off the run of a run of very bad PR and kind of inter-party kind of controversies and calamities. But the use of the word traitor, I mean, the last time the word traitor was used in such a loaded term was, remember when Eamon Gilmore accused Brian Cowan of being an economic traitor, and Brian Cowan took grave exceptions to that on the floor of the Dáil. So it is a very loaded charge to be made. You know, I would think Patrick Keilty will defend it on artistic grounds, RTÉ will stand their ground, but, you know, there is probably some legitimate grounds for complaint.
Of course, Simon Harris said yesterday that Sinn Féin was quicker to demand an apology for that than it was to give an apology to the 16-year-old, as we've now learned, who was receiving texts from their former Senator Niall O'Donnell.
Yeah, now we now know that Mary Lou McDonald has moved today to say that she will correct the Dáil record. I think she had come under an awful lot of pressure over the statement of support or perceived support for Niall O'Donnell on his departure from the Oireachtas. You know, we've had this rather laughable position from Sinn Féin representative saying that it wasn't a kind of a statement of condemnation, of support or kind of saying it was.
But it was, if you read it closely, it was.
It absolutely was. I think more damaging for Mary Lou McDonald is that she went on to make such a statement when they knew that he was leaving in less than kind of appropriate circumstances. So she has now said she will go in and correct the Dáil record and make a full apology. She has already offered a full apology. I think when that story was in the Sunday Independent, the victim impact statement essentially from the young person involved, Mary Lou McDonald said she regretted and apologised for the hurt that her words caused at the time, but she's now going to do it on the floor of the Dáil.
Now, what's happening in Fine Gael? Did anyone see Heather Humphreys deciding not to run in the election, the deputy leader of the party?
No, it's a very curious one because, you know, she was only, I suppose, elevated to the position of deputy leader when Simon Harris became Taoiseach. And he had made the call to all of his sitting ministers, particularly, you know, declare your intentions to stand or not stand because I need to know what my team is going into the next general election. Obviously, they had quite a good local and European elections in Cavan Monaghan. You know, they have a good slate of candidates there. But the timing of this is really peculiar. You know, Heather Humphreys did appear quite emotional on the radio on Sunday when she was talking about it, you know, saying that this is a very big decision for her personally. Now, she has referenced her age. She is 64. She has referenced, you know, wanting to spend more time with her family and her grandchildren, etc. like that. But one would wonder what has changed so significantly since April when she was elevated to that position to now where she's now walking off the pitch.
And is it surprising that she's been replaced as deputy leader by Helen McEntee?
Now, I on one level, yes, on one level, no. No, on the basis that he's replaced, there's a like-for-like, not a Dublin woman, basically kind of filling that slot. I suppose an attempt to broaden the appeal of the party. You know, Fine Gael has long been criticised for being too Dublin-centric, you know, too kind of D4, kind of slightly snooty, slightly snobby, kind of. So there wasn't really a choice to appoint, say, Pascal Donoghue or someone within the Dublin belt to that position of deputy leader. But is Helen McEntee as convincing a politician or as well-liked within Fine Gael as Heather Humphreys? Absolutely not.
And I see there's also reports say that Fine Gael decided that they're going to make Pascal Donoghue the spokesman on housing for the general election campaign and Jennifer Carroll McNeill the spokesperson on health, which is interesting because when you think about it, if they are going to run a separate campaign from Fianna Fáil, they can't be just allowing the Fianna Fáil ministers to talk about health and housing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I thought what was also very interesting was that they've nominated Alwyn Enright, the former TD, as their director of elections. They haven't gone for a sitting cabinet minister, which is the norm, or has been the norm in more recent elections. Not a very great success from a Fine Gael perspective. So Alwyn Enright now will go in. She has been working with the party behind the scenes. She'll now go in as director of elections. It'll be her job to decide the final ticket in each of the constituencies. Yeah, stop the sort of rows that happened in Cork South West the last one where they essentially lost the seat to Holly Kearns because of a kind of an inter-party row. So she'll have to put manners on the organisation around the country. But to have Pascal Donoghue talking about housing, to have Jennifer Carroll McNeill talking about health will allow Fine Gael almost challenge Fianna Fáil's record in probably strident terms, you know, at the time, so they're not just sounding like one party when they go to the electorate.
And it does appear now that they are going to go very much separately. They're not going to have voting transfer packs officially in place. Is that because they're just hoping that the electorate will just give second or third preferences to their old partners in government?
I think there's probably a feeling, because that's exactly what happened in the local and European elections, is that there were clear voting patterns and transfers between the two parties. I think there's probably a sense that within the two, that a formal voting pact might just put voters off. Because I think you're probably dealing with more tribal elements of each party who would be uncomfortable with a kind of a more formal arrangement. But this clear is, you know, as the point has been made to me repeatedly, how this government ends is as important as when it ends. So the two parties need to hang together if they're going to be re-elected.
Okay, What are we going to learn tonight about the election date, do you think? Because the party leaders are meeting to discuss the Doyle programme to get the various bills through. But they can't announce a date as yet, can they, until such time as the Doyle is to be dissolved?
No, I don't think we'll get a date for dissolution. I think what we will get is that timetable of what are the key remaining pieces of legislation that have to get through. We've had various ministers and various leaders set out, obviously, the finance bill, the social welfare bill. There's been other kind of bills, including the defamation one, which is of interest to us in the media, still on the pipeline. There are others that are likely to be foregone. I think the mental health bill may fall. I think that might be set aside and for the next Doyle to take on. But we will get, I think, a timetable of the legislation that they really want to get through. I think you're looking at a dissolution on the 7th or 8th of November to allow for November 29th general election. That's Friday the 29th.
Ironically, the word is a short campaign of just 3 weeks, whereas the campaign has been ongoing already unofficially for weeks.
Unofficially, yeah, but I do think once the formal general election, is called, you will see a kind of a real laser. Every show in the country, every newspaper, every TV show will be focused on the general election. It'll be wall-to-wall coverage. And that's when the people really tune in.
Well, there's this saying apparently that 50% of votes are decided during the official election campaign, that only half of us have really made up our minds as to how we're going to vote before the bell is fired.
And the 2020 election spelled that out, Matt, because both Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil had a disastrous election campaign. Sinn Féin had an excellent campaign, and they were the main beneficiaries at a time weeks before they were deselecting candidates because they thought they're going to get a hocking.
Okay, one listener has been in touch saying, when are you going to give out about Simon Harris telling us that the election was going to be next year when you kept telling us it would be this year, and now suddenly he says it's going to be this year and there's no fuss about it?
Well, I think what Simon Harris is doing is just, I suppose, confirming what everybody has been speculating about, and even the leaders, Roderick O'Gorman and Micheál Martin. I think Micheál Martin set the cat amongst the pigeons when he did a podcast with the Irish Times on Wednesday of last week, where he basically said, having held firm to the idea of the election had to be in 2025, he moved his position based on the amount of legislation that had gone through, particularly the planning bill and the gambling bill from his perspective. Then he had Roderick O'Gorman on Friday actually put a specific date of the 29th of November down. So Simon Harris really had no option when he was out. He was doorstepped in Wicklow yesterday, where he basically had to come out and basically say, listen, it will be this side of Christmas, putting an end to the idea that they'll go full term.
Okay, there's believed that Micheál Martin has been influenced by the woes that Sinn Féin has suffered in recent weeks, but will those really be relevant when it comes to people casting their vote? Are they going to care about how Sinn Féin goes about its internal business, or are they going to be more interested in what Sinn Féin will offer as an alternative to the government when it comes to issues like housing and health, and maybe even immigration?
I think it'll be determined by the style of campaign. If Sinn Féin are still on their back foot throughout the campaign talking about issues about how they run their party, then I think it will have an impact. If they're able to successfully pivot to where they're able to put the government on the back foot, like they did in the last general election campaign around the pension issue, like they were able to really capitalise on Mary Lou MacDonald's exclusion from the first or the major RTE debate, that was a total PR victory for Sinn Féin. And the government parties were seen to be kind of on the back foot throughout the election campaign. So it depends. Like, talk to me after 4 days of the campaign, Matt, and we'll see how we're doing.
We'll be talking to you a lot prior to the official firing of the starting gun and during the campaign, because Daniel McConnell, the editor of the Business Post, will be central to our extensive election coverage here on The Last Word at Today FM. Thank you for being with us.
The Last Word
with Life Pharmacies. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.